What are you talking about, a podcast? What's a podcast? Is that like a radio show or something like that? Who's this Adam guy always hanging out with? Didn't you say he's older than you are? Don't you have any friends your age? You make any money off your little show? Conspiraformal? Oh, conspiranormal. What is that supposed to mean? Is that a real word? Welcome back to Conspiranormal. What's up, Luke? It's been a little while. Not that I haven't seen you all day.
Well, you know, it's been a bunch going on, man. Bunch.
Yeah. So what's been going on? And fill our listeners in to everything. What's been going on with you?
Still hanging out with my degenerate buddies. And
my degenerate buddies.
I told you I went camping on Percy Priest, so it was real nice. It was peaceful, nice view and everything. Nice to be out on the water. Got to go out on the boat, and the water was too choppy, so I couldn't really fish. Partying, you know, same old, same old.
Partying hard. Getting kicked out of bars. And
Getting in a fight. Well, not me. I didn't get in a fight. My friend did, but I was there to back him up.
So what do you think about this whole North Korea situation?
I think that it's only a matter of time before we. I mean, I'm sure that America's trying to piss them off. They're trying to do anything they can to make them make the first move so that they can get the military to sympathize. You know.
Yeah, I have no love for North Korea. I think that they're crazy regime. They really treat their people really poorly with all their like multi-generational prison camps.
And ridiculous propaganda that you need to mention on this episode.
Yeah. There's propaganda video out there of that's translated that shows everyone in the United States being homeless. And I guess some scenes from, was it Hurricane Sandy when that came in?
Yeah.
Superstorm Sandy, as it's
just
called.
Just some random footage of some bums in New York or something.
And they were talking about how the North Koreans were talking about how that, you know, people in the United States eat birds that are off the trees. And,
because we're so poor.
North Korean journalists are coming over there and just helping everybody out. The North Korean camera crew was giving them food.
And North Korean coffee.
Yeah, just really bizarre. And then there's the videos that they've been putting out where they, like, played We Are the World as it showed them bombing Washington, D.C. With a nuclear weapon.
Don't forget that we eat snow and we're all vagrant homosexuals.
We eat snow, yeah, we're all vagrant homosexuals, yeah. There was another one that they had was talking about debauched celebrities and how they're, and just like, and some of it like I actually agreed with, but which was odd. But, you know, I have no love for the North Koreans. And certainly, you know, this guy, Kim Jong-un, who is the successor to Kim Jong-il and the son and the grandson of the first Kim Il-sung.
Everybody knows that, dude.
Yeah, no, people may not know that. You never know.
I'm just messing with
you. Everybody history lesson, man. And but anyway, I think he's just trying to prove himself that he can actually lead. He probably has pressure from people in like the military, which is very strong. You know, the military that they can barely feed. And so, but I find it funny that while all that stuff is going on and all this rhetoric's coming out from the North Koreans, that we're still not stopping like the exercises that we're doing with the South Koreans. You know, I mean, talk about making a provocation even worse,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And I have heard on another podcast a couple guys talking about how possibly what Kim Jong-un wants to do is that he really wants like a definitive treaty with South Korea, because the war over there never really ended. When you have an armistice that doesn't mean that, that just means like there's a cessation in hostilities.
Right, yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not really a peace treaty.
Until
there's
next
no
time.
Peace treaty. Until next time. Which continued. We could be coming up on next time if right. things keep going the way they are. But I think that we kind of, or the United States and South Korea, are really kind of have made things worse. And, I mean, they can't hit us with a nuclear weapon. You know, there's a worry that they could cause, like, an EMP effect and all this kind of stuff. And I think a lot of that's kind of more propaganda, too.
Yeah.
For, like, neoconservative propaganda. But, you know, it's just something that bears to be watched. Maybe we can get, like, Kim Jong-un on the show, you know, come in and talk about it.
Right, yes. Learn some Korean. Does he know English?
He may. I don't know. He was hanging out with Dennis Rodman
right,
before
yeah.
all this started.
And I doubt
so.
That Dennis Rodman knows Korean. So
yeah, probably not. I mean, they have interpreters, right? He's going to talk about, you know, the eating birds in New York City. They eat birds and eat them from the tree.
Out of all the people, he chooses a basketball star to be his friend?
Well, he's into basketball.
Oh,
it's like something he's into.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I love how everybody, like, defers to the guy as a kid, too. That's another thing I found like, kind of weird on, like, the coverage. Like, CNN is mostly what I've been looking at. And they refer to him as a kid, but the guy's, like, 30 years old. Like, he's older than you.
Kim
you
Jong-un?
Yeah, Kim Jong-un. He's, like,
they call
30.
Him a kid?
Yeah, they call him a kid. They call him a child. Like he's a kid, you know. So you get this impression of the guy, like, he's, like, really, you know, inexperienced like a child. But the guy's, like, 30, you know. So, he's a weird-looking dude anyway. And I've seen all the memes that are out there on Facebook of them looking at them through the binoculars and all that stuff.
Chuck Norris is carrying his M16.
We saw that today, yeah. And, well, you know, turning to things about the show, we've gotten some Facebook likes, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them coming.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we would take this opportunity to... thank all of our listeners for sticking with us. And
yeah, really.
I think you guys are awesome.
I think we've started to get some listeners, and which we have a listener coming on the show. His name is Devin Byrne, and he's coming on the show tonight. And he actually sent me an email and asked me about you know, coming on to the show, and I think he's got some interesting things that he's going to talk about. I don't really know what to expect, man. About this.
Right. So, and I do, because my family's from that same sort of background.
Like the New Age stuff?
Yeah. And
but he could have a whole totally different, you know,
well,
idea about it.
I mean, yeah, but even though people that are spiritualists and New Agers have, like, all these different beliefs, you know, just based on individual
yeah.
preferences or whatever, I can still see a theme among them.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, any other, well, I hesitate to call it a religion because it's kind of like a bunch of beliefs put together.
Exactly.
Like New
yeah.
Age, really.
Exactly.
Is,
it's just like
is
whatever
overarching term.
Whatever feels right to that individual person becomes a part of their belief system or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we go?
My mom hates being called a New Ager. Pisses her off.
Yeah, does it?
She's like, I'm not into New Age.
We should get your mom on the show.
Yeah,
we've talked about that before.
Long time
we had
ago,
your
yeah.
brother on.
I don't even think she listens to the show at all.
She needs to listen.
Maybe her computer's too slow.
Luke's mom, you need to listen. Come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, come on, we're getting hundreds of downloads.
Mom and grandma, yeah, hundreds of downloads. You're not even listening to your own son. Try to make her feel guilty.
Give her the guilt trip. Give it to her. Stick it to her.
Yeah. Well, you know. For all the Chris fans, Chris isn't here. Just going to throw that out. That's all.
I want a Chris t-shirt.
I do too. Like, with this face on it. It's got like a question mark on it.
just says next president.
Absolutely.
Vote for Chris.
Maybe he'll be here next week. You never know. I know that he's got his fans out there.
So. Right.
Well, I think... about covers it, kind of like the stuff, but I think we should have plenty to speak of on the other side of the interview, so we will go ahead and we will go to Devin Byrne, and this should be interesting, and we'll be right back on Conspiranormal. All right, we're back on Conspiranormal, And Luke's still sitting here once again. And we have on the line Devin J. Byrne. And he has come to, he actually emailed us about coming on to the show. And I was very happy about just getting an email from a listener, much less someone that wanted to come on to our show.
Right, so off the rip, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for listening, and thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for allowing me to come on. So.
And you had sent me your bio here, and I just kind of want to go through this. And we'll talk about it. And this is the bio. It says, Devin J. Byrne was raised Mormon, born in Ohio, and moved to Utah with his 8 siblings. Around age 8, he first recognized people died when he started seeing his stillborn brother at night. At 12, he first started having dual-way conversations with God and first learned how to meditate. While attending massage school at 18, he had his first conscious OBE and started seeing auras. He became fascinated with energy work and reached Reiki Master status before the age of 20. In the midst of studying A Course in Miracles, Devin's metaphysical experiences increased to an expected daily occurrence. From channeling to disappearances to recalling past lives, he became obsessed with healing and started traveling with complete trust in divine providence. Recently, at 27, Devin participated in recognition of his birth, his conception, and the nirvana of the indescribable light. There, he was given an opportunity to leave his body behind, which he did not take. Now Devin is equipped with an awareness of multiple dimensional arenas and ability to convey them with a unique outlook. At a very young age, he was told his wires were crossed, though he quickly realized dyslexia and ADHD, and those are in quotes, were actually perspectives waiting and ready to empower.
Wow, that's pretty good. Holy shit.
Thank you. So, Devin, I just want to talk about, you know, that's kind of an outline, but I kind of want to hear a little bit of detail about some of this. You know, you were raised Mormon. You'd moved to Utah with 8 siblings. That's got to be crazy. And around age 8, you know, you first recognized people died, and you started seeing your stillborn brother at night. What was going on there?
Well, I did not realize it until much later on, about when I was 18, that I was actually seeing someone that was not there. I didn't realize that it was almost like a dark image. I was on a bunk bed and my brother was on the bottom, and I remember seeing, you know, this, I don't know, around 10 years old, a child that's around 10 in the dark, and I remember being very emotional, and I always loved, like, how to say it? I always loved, like, family songs and stuff, and I would realize, because being Mormon and everything, they love to enforce this family thing, and I would always sing this song, you know, families can be together forever is what it's called, and at that time I would really see that. And I didn't realize until I was 8 that I was actually told about my brother. And it was then I put it together, and, well, I put it together later, that it was him. And it was pretty profound to just realize that he was even around me. Even later, when I started really practicing around 18, my psychic abilities and everything, I was going to a psychic, and my brother came to him and was telling him that he was guiding me along this journey and going in this practice. He came, brought up a story about some kids being stuck in the snow in a car and an angel coming and helping them home and all this stuff, without going into the details of that story. And he said that my brother brought me that story, and I had confirmed with him that, yeah, that's definitely, that was the first book that I actually read that got me really going into this realm and really stretching my mind beyond the Mormon Church. And the Mormon Church frowns upon psychic activity and, you know, dabbling in any realm that, you know, if it's not in the scriptures, don't go there, you know, kind of thing.
I can imagine that was probably something that was that something that was kind of hard for you to reconcile at that age?
Yeah, you know, I didn't know how to deal with it. I was really out of it. Like, I was a child. I remember everything going around really fast and being in this world. Everything moved really fast, and I realize now that's because I was running around all the time. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, I have a sister that also, we had an experience together. She doesn't really either believe me or understand that I saw as well. I saw my brother sitting by us one time, and she saw him as well, and I pretty much nodded, thinking it's completely normal. You know, I didn't. And she knew that it wasn't normal, and she knew, you know, I don't know.
Being that he was stillborn, I mean, did you see like a normal child?
Yeah.
Was he kind of more the same age you were, or he just kind of looked just like you? I mean, you could tell there's obviously that he was a brother.
Yeah, he was stillborn, so he never really reached the age of 10, but that's where it seemed like he looked around the age of 10 years old. And I'm assuming from that, without actually going in communication further into it, that's the age that he, you know, preferred to be at. Huh. And I know now that he's not around me as much as he was. And I feel that's because I don't exactly need his help, and he's helping, I believe, my sister, and possibly going on to another life. Who knows?
Huh. This other line here about that you started having dual way conversations with God.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. And you're like 12 years old at this point.
Yeah.
You start having conversations with God?
I have no idea, really. It just kind of started happening, and to get into the real details about all of it, I was, you know, discovered myself, as I, you know, most young men do, and you know, in the Mormon Church, feeling all guilty about my, you know, a urge to masturbate and you know, uncontrollably, and you can't seem to figure out. And the church is telling me I shouldn't be doing that, and that I have to, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I felt really extremely guilty, and every time. And so it brought me to my knees, and I was begging and praying, and as I was taught, that's what I should do, and that would help me through it. And it started opening up a gateway to literally I would ask questions and fall asleep asking questions, and I would start waking up, or I would just start hearing words or something, and I would get answers to these questions. And I have this like little journal full of quotes that were coming to me at that time. Mm-hmm. And it was, of course, in my understanding that it was whatever God is, and you know, at the time I thought he was a body outside of myself, and I quickly came to realize, I can share one quote off the top of my head. I just call them quotes because they're nice and short, like my attention span.
Mine too.
Yeah. And there was, it was, "Be not afraid, my son, for I am with thee, and I will always be with thee until thee are with me." And when you first hear that, you're like, wait a second. And I realized that the only thing that really changes in the realizing that God is with you is your perception. And that he is always with you, because truly, honestly, he can't leave your presence. And just like you can't leave his, even though it seems like we are, it seems like we have, it seems like we do, you know, he's right there, waiting to be recognized. It doesn't matter if he's recognized or not. You can say he doesn't exist or not exist, but it doesn't matter. He just accepts you as you are. He accepts you as a non-believer. He accepts you as a believer. He loves everything. And so I really just started, I don't know. I mean, I could have easily been delusional. I could have easily been, I don't know, crazy. And yet I continued to have this urge to just trust it and to just trust that it's not being made up, that I'm not really going crazy, that I was just made this way. I was made with unique gifts like we all are. And, you know, talking with God, I mean, what the hell is that?
So would you say that after you had started listening that you were kind of like led astray from Mormonism, or do you still keep some of the Mormon beliefs, or are you in a new, like an entirely different belief system?
Yeah, it's definitely a long story, but at first it enhanced my beliefs in it because that's what I knew as far as anything with God, and he was speaking to me with you know, the terms, the Christian terminology, you know, saying, you know, son and God and using these words or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I definitely got really strong into the church, and to a point where I was studying it and starting to see that I was interpreting the scriptures, and I was interpreting them much different than everybody else was. And not entirely, but to a point where it's like, well, no, he's actually saying something much more profound to me than what somebody else could convey with the same words. And then when I did get into massage therapy school and got into Reiki, my dad definitely expressed that would be going into the realm of satanic rituals or whatever, because it is a healing power that they have in the church, but only men perform the priesthood blessings. And with Reiki, if you know anything about Reiki, women can perform it just as well, if not better, than men. My dad was expressing feelings of frowning upon that, and that's when it definitely started breaking away. I realized that my beliefs and having that out-of-body experience, my life, it is completely different now. I cannot confine myself to this box of the church. And I just had to expand. And in fact, I had a blessing in the church at the time that told me to look into books of wisdom and to find and to not be afraid of them. And but trusting that as well, I was willing to look into books outside of the church, even though most people are not. And it did. I'm the only, well, there's two of us really that out of the eight kids that have left the church. And now, currently, I'm actually going through a type of channeling that seems to be coming to me, and there's some translating happening. I'm actually getting an understanding of the church that it's like translating in a way that it seems like it was meant to be, which I don't know if I want to go preaching that to the Mormon church.
So when you say you're getting an understanding of the church, you're kind of specifically talking about the Mormon church.
Well, if you know anything about, yes, definitely the Mormon church, because it's kind of what I was raised. Have you heard anything about the 10 dimensions, the 10-dimensional universe? It's very similar to that. There's actually a thing in the church called the plan of salvation, where they're trying to explain to the members that how they go through a, you know, like we came to this body, and then we have to be righteous people, and then we can go to spiritual prison and or spiritual paradise,
so
and then
like
go to these kingdoms
doctrines
and all this stuff. And without going into the details, it's been explaining to me that this is a natural progression of what we are all going through, and it is not the Mormon church specifically that will help us to go on. Actually, time is actually a spiritual prison, and there's a whole lot to it. There's a whole lot to it that we can get into, but we don't need to do that necessarily right now.
You mentioned in your bio about the outer body experience. At what age was that, and what exactly happened?
Yeah, it was around 18. I can't give you a specific date or anything, but I just woke up one day and I was inches from the ceiling, and I didn't have the bunk bed anymore. And so I, you know, I was probably 3 or 4 feet above my body, and I didn't know what was going on. And there was this rushing noise, like a white noise, like shh, kind of rounded, like if you put a seashell over your ear. Mm-hmm. And then I looked, I was able to turn my head or whatever it was over to see the window, and I realized the window was below me. And as the instant I realized what was going on, I was back in my body. It was probably, if I put it in a time frame, it was lasted about 2 seconds. But it was pretty amazing. And I jumped down into my body and just like literally bounced. And I tried for quite a while. I started studying the out-of-body experiences, reading a few books. And from that point, I actually had a series of out-of-body experiences, probably about, I would say, 20 of them now. Yeah.
What have you seen in your out-of-body experiences? What kind of like an example of one of them?
Well, about 90% of them, I stayed in the room where I was comfortable. And one time, I actually even went, like my mother was waking me up at the time, knocking on the door. And I remember going and answering the door, and she wouldn't respond to me. And then I woke up again, but this time it was actually in my body. And I went and answered the door, and I'm like, I just answered the door. It was really funny. Another time, I do remember flying out over the street and watching cars drive, like as if I was sitting on a street lamp, and it almost seemed illuminated, like I was on the street lamp. And I've had partial out of body experiences where, like, especially with Reiki practice, I can't say I perfected this, but I seem to do it every now and then, like literally where... Have you seen The Matrix? I'm sure you guys have. You know the second Matrix where Trinity dies and her heart stops?
Right.
And he actually like puts his hand into her chest. It's kind of like that. And he grabs the heart and pumps it. Like I've had experiences specifically with the out-of-body idea where I could pull my arm out of my physical arm, whatever the spiritual arm that it could be.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know how to explain that. It's definitely an experience that you just can't really understand until you experience it.
What's you mentioned too about... you know, in the midst of studying the Course in Miracles, you were having metaphysical experiences almost daily.
Yeah.
And some of those are channeling, which I want to talk about a little later. And disappearances, recalling past lives. What do you mean by disappearances?
Yeah, I had to throw that in there. Specifically, the first time when it happened, we were in a circle, and it was a Course in Miracles group. And we sat a chair in the middle of the room, and we wanted to look at this chair, and we wanted to attempt to forgive what we know of this chair and just let go of our ideas of what we think it might be. And you know, you don't really know what you're doing with that when you say those terms. And so I was just like, okay, I forgive you, chair. I let you go. I don't know what you're for. I don't know what you have to do. I don't know what you are. And I was just trying to say, I have no idea what this chair is, instead of confining my idea to thoughts of chair. You know, what a chair is for, what you do with it, how you hold it, whatever, you know. And then we asked the chair, or it wasn't a chair at that point, to just say, show me yourself. And literally, this chair started fluttering out of existence to my eyes, to my perception. Who knows if it was really, because nobody else saw this. It was just my crazy insanity. And I could see through the back of the chair, the legs on the other side, because we were in a circle, and the legs of the chair, but the seat of the chair, I felt like I couldn't let go of the ideas that I could sit in this chair. And the seat of the chairs never disappeared, but the legs and the back of the chair literally fluttered for about 5 minutes. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
And then since then, I've played with it a few times, and I've had lamps seem to flutter out, and I've had experiences where I thought body parts disappeared, but who knows? They're always there when I go check for them. So
you're kind of breaking down, rather than being a physical object, breaking it down into more of like an etheric energy that's shared, and from that point, manipulating it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way of saying it. How, in my understanding of it, I believe the world is a complete illusion. Mm-hmm. And it's all in my mind. And if I have these ideas in my mind that I think are a world, that I'm taking these ideas and, like that specific one about the chair, and I take that idea and I try and actually eliminate it out of the mind. And I call it forgiveness, like the Course in Miracles calls it, and try and just allow it to see what happens. I don't know if I'm specifically actually manipulating anything. I would say I'm letting go of something. My belief in it, maybe.
I see.
But I mean, you're just as right as I am. It's all made up shit anyway, dude. So.
Well, you were just talking about the second part of that question too, the past lives.
Yeah, past lives. Oh, I was on a Vipassana meditation course, which I recommend for everyone, like anyone. And you know, they're a donation basis program, completely nonprofit. So I don't know if it. Anyway, they have a 10-day meditation course, and it was my first day, first meditation course, and. I started hearing sounds and getting familiar with my, you know, internal teacher, and the same teacher that was teaching me at 12, if it was God, if it was spirit, I still call it spirit. And I asked spirit, well, what is this sound, this ringing in my ear, it seemed like, and it was a low thing, and this it clearly said, this is the sound of everything. And I realized then, oh yeah, it is familiar. It sounds like the Om sound, Om, you know, but it was extremely low. I've never heard anybody be able to reach that point with the vocal cords. It was very low. And then I actually asked, could I hear the sound of me? And I heard the sound, a very high-pitched sound, not extremely high-pitched, but, you know, a much higher than that sound. And it was probably like a sound. And it was probably the next day I was laying there and I started hearing this sound of myself, and then I started recalling that I had a beard, and I didn't have a beard at the time. And I started thinking about how I was in a bus, in a Volkswagen bus, and I'm like, I'm not in a Volkswagen bus. And I started realizing, as I started inquiring with this, that all of a sudden, I was remembering that, yeah, I died of a heart attack in my last life, and I was traveling around the country, and I was a kind of aged hippie, I guess, and that my wife that I left behind is still alive in Washington State. And I started having just vivid memories almost coming through.
Wow.
That's a lot of detail. Uh-huh. Really.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And who knows if it's true, you know? I could be, again, I have to trust this, you know, and that's all I can do. I have no idea if it's real.
So one day
I hope to make it to Washington and see if I can find this wife.
If you could substantiate that would be very interesting.
Revolutionary, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've read a couple books where they did studies in like India, where they tried to find people and connect them together. That's a pretty cool idea.
Go ahead.
Well, we talking about too, you know, kind of moving on, something to revere that is very interesting that you, you know, recently you participated in, you said you participated in recognition of your birth and your conception, yes, and nirvana, the indescribable light. And you were given an opportunity, you said, to leave your body behind, but you didn't take that. What happened there?
Well, I just got back from a healing retreat in Costa Rica, and we did this thing called hypertrophic breathing, where it's quickly breathing in and just letting your air, the air come out naturally. And we did this several times. I did have some pretty awesome releases and healings then, but then when I came home and we got to another place, another, a new room, a new apartment, and I'm right here in the vicinity of Bell Rock, if you know Sedona, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And it's a vortex here, and the energy of it, and I think that has a part of it. And I happen to have an edible caramel marijuana. And the experience that came from that, I decided to sit down and go into meditation. And I have learned how to induce this theta brainwave. And when I started to go into that place where, you know, you think you start spinning a little bit, and then all of a sudden, it was uncontrollable, like to a point of laughter almost, where I had to lay down, and my partner, Zoe, I had her hold me. And on the the holotropic breathing, the last one, I was told to embrace the cold. So I embraced the cold in this experience.
Embrace the cold.
Yeah, like just accept it, because I hate the cold, and okay, we're gonna realize why.
As in the feeling of cold.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. So I was laying there, practically naked, and I had her hold me as if I was a baby. And this just, the details are very, very faint. But what I remember in my experience of it was just extreme joy, to a point where I literally could barely, I couldn't talk, I couldn't open my eyes. I believe my eyes were rolled up back in my head. And I was shaking in a way, and my recognition, I went back, and normally, you know, I remember thinking about being a baby, and I'm like thinking, just looking at a baby. But this, I remember not being able to open my eyes, and just the uncontrollable joy. It was so intense, and I remember being held by my mother, and just like I was in that experience. Then I remembered, like it was just feelings, like feelings of actually being birthed. I was taken out of the womb upside down, and I was, it was a C-section, so you know, it was a little early, and I was unprepared for it, and it actually went backwards, so then it was almost like time was going backwards, and I went back into the womb, and I remember being in the nice, warm, slushy something feeling. And the joy was still continuous. I mean, it was so profound and uncontrollable. I could not really move on my own. I remember saying things like, it's okay, to Zoe, and in case she thought, you know, maybe she knew I was dying or something. But she didn't. She told me after, she thought I was just having a blast because I was laughing so much. And at that point, I realized this light that was just not even understood as light, but that's the only word to describe it. And it was the essence of that pure joy. And it was right there. And it was all that was. And it was all that is. In that moment, that's all there was to me. And it was so profound, and I experienced this some sort of essence around me as Zoe was coming in and out of fluttering out of existence to me, and she would pop in saying, "It's okay," every now and then, "It's okay." And this other, on the other side of me, there was this essence that gave me the choice. And you gotta understand too, I've been trying to have this choice. I've been trying to eliminate this idea of the world. I've been trying to leave this planet in one way or another. And not by the suicide, because I understand that suicide would just, you know, I'm trying to ascend somehow or something.
Sure.
And I was given... Oh, sorry.
What was I can't it? Help but keep thinking about the caramel edible marijuana.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty great.
Yeah, and it was just a, you know, normal marijuana edible and just a simple little one, and it really, it could not have been just that or from that, because I've had them since and I've had them before, and it was never an experience like this.
Right.
But this essence gave me a choice of leaving or not, and it was not in words, it was not in thoughts, it was just like a knowledge, like I just knew. And the thoughts of Zoe on one side that were coming in, and then this essence on the other, and I all of a sudden was overwhelmed with a little bit of fear, and this fear was about being conveyed improperly and not fulfilling my purpose, and I related it to conveying my spiritual experiences and helping people find their own understanding of God or the universe or whatever it might be. And so I decided to come back, and it was really out of fear. I didn't know. I was still afraid. And there was that little... It was definitely... I have a purpose here. And that's when I started writing people and writing you guys and saying, "Hey, I'd like to be on the show and see what happens."
Right. It's really good that you get that message out, because, you know, I believe in... that's a really great sentence there about letting people meet God or get their own understanding of God, their own personal truth, their own way, you know, and not be... too, it's okay to read, it's okay to research, but not be too limited by those things, you know, books, media, whatever, but to kind of accept and learn your own personal truth, your own way, and showing them how to do that. That's great. Perfect. So I give you praise.
And
for that.
I am a strong believer in that, that I am not unique in any way in this fashion. I feel like if I might be unique, it would be in dedication and determination. I believe everybody can communicate with whatever we call God, whatever that essence is, and we can all have out-of-body experiences, and we can all heal, and, you know, we're all made to do this in our own unique fashion. I mean, you guys having this show, you're reaching people that, you know, most people could never reach, and just to expand people's minds on such wonderful subjects and metaphysics.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thank you guys for that.
You got something?
Well, I wanted to talk about too, about, you know, about the channeling experience, and I think you're saying that that's kind of more of a recent thing.
Yeah.
What's happening in that aspect?
Well, I'm still in the process of actually learning how to channel clearly. At least this essence that has been coming to me. There has been times where I've channeled spirits, and there's been, but this essence is very profound in a way where if I'm not prepared for it, I almost can't find it. Like, it's like a meditating all day, kind of fasting all day kind of thing.
Okay.
And I was in my last 10-day meditation course. I came back and I started channeling what I understood as what God was. And it just started, instead of little quotes or just thoughts or questions, it was like a clear essence. Oh, sorry. It was like a, you know, a clear stream. And I recorded a little bit of it, and I actually asked what it was, and said, well, the only name I would be willing to pick is Zeus. Because, and it explained to me that the only reason it would go by Zeus is because it's the only idea of God that I personally, Devin, knows about, that Devin does not believe in, you know? Like, Devin thinks okay. Zeus is just a made-up story, and that's kind of why it was picked somehow. Because I personally, you know, in my understanding and what I've experienced, God is within me, you know? God is behind this, what we would call an ego, behind this idea, or this essence of Devin, this idea of fear and this communicator, this speaking right now to you is, of course, Devin experiencing what God would be. And God is right there within all of us, not just joining us together, but we are one. I mean, we are literally the same identity that is coming together, that is learning how to heal, that has a passion for things, and we're driving this so-called history to a future. And we... Okay, wow.
Tell us about your work with vibrations, raising vibrational levels. Is that something you tap into during meditation? And tell us about it.
Now, specifically, I wouldn't say I actually try to raise vibrational level. It's more like I would attempt to just focus, and it naturally happens. This essence that we actually think we are, okay, so this body vibrates as in energy in this world, but there is an essence that you are that actually gives you life, and this is what I would call God within you, or love, some people call it. And this naturally vibrates at an extremely high level, but we have this idea about ourselves when we are born or some point along our timeline, that we are a body and that we are low vibrations. And, you know, you hear this in the Bible and stuff where they say the fall of man and the fall of Adam, and as if it actually happened. But in my understanding or awakening in this, as long as I am willing to let go of my own personal ideas and to put them down, if I'm able to quiet my mind and put them aside, then it will open up to allowing that love to vibrate at its higher essence. So as far as actually bringing yourself up to a higher vibration, you actually want to put yourself down and vibrate normally where you are actually at right now, which is kind of interesting. But definitely with objects and with things and with people, we can, with Reiki and meditation and focusing, we can bring you to a vibrational state to allow things like out-of-body experiences to happen a little more naturally, a little more often.
Right.
What this channeling thing has been coming to me and explaining the dimensional realities to me was that actually the soul is the second dimension, and you have a soul in the body, and the third dimension, of course, being the body, and the mind is actually time, which is the fourth dimension. And that's why there's memory and holding it all together. This essence of the second dimension, which is what we would know as love according to energy, and it's like the blueprint of the third dimension. So you can manipulate the blueprint, and then the third dimensional reality will actually change. And that's what you hear about manifestors and that who can make things appear in their hands and things like that. They have raised the vibration of their blueprint, which is the second dimension, so that the third dimension corresponds and correlates with it, which is kind of fantastic, really.
That's interesting what you just said. Have you ever experienced someone materializing something like that?
You know, I don't believe I have, no. I there seems like there was an experience with dust, but it's not factual, and I don't know for sure if it actually happened.
Okay.
Yeah. I have had experiences, like I call flies I call them angels. It's kind of my way of accepting them flying around my head sometimes. And
especially in Arizona, right?
It's being optimistic.
Yeah. I was out camping one time, and my brother was there, and there was a bunch of flies all over the place, and I just put out my hands in kind of a bowl, like I was holding a bowl with both hands, and I thought about my hands. I just thought about the presence of my hands, and I opened my eyes, and there was 20 flies on my hands. And it's like, from that point, I'm like, oh, wow, these guys really understand energy or something. It was pretty cool. But I can't say I you know, manifest them.
Let me ask you, Devin, and I do want to ask you, one of the things we talk about, you know, we talked about ghosts, and we've had a lot of different people on this show, a lot of different, as you know from listening to it, a lot of different points of view. And I just wanted to ask you, and you kind of said earlier when we were talking about just going with what that you're told, that you don't know if it's entirely true. Just to ask, I mean, do you sometimes feel like, do you have doubts about maybe what you're channeling? Do you think that the possibility that there could be something that's maybe not telling you the truth?
Yeah, it does come up a lot. But it doesn't make me feel good, so I don't like believing in that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, I definitely doubt it often. But then I notice that after I doubt, it usually closes. And I find it harder to see. And I realize that my trust in it opens it and allows it to be open. Like, if I didn't trust in it or just allow it to happen, then I close my mind. I close the experiences. I keep them from coming. And I want them. I do.
Okay.
And I'm willing to be completely insane. I'm willing to go in a rubber room if I have to. And, you know, if it's a loving essence, if it's an acceptable essence where it seems to be treating me okay, and it seems to me that I feel good when I'm hearing it or being with it, then I accept it.
Right.
If I don't feel good, I just pretty much ignore it. And I believe that is my way of blocking off any essence that would not be appropriate, or, you know, a dark energy of some sort.
Have you ever had any experiences with anything that's dark?
Well, there was an experience where dark in color, I would say I've seen a spirit that was like in a dark robe, but I have no idea if it was evil or dark or anything, because it was just standing there and it wouldn't respond to me in any way. And it did frighten me, and it scared me, and I let it go. I have not looked for anything like that, or, yeah, no.
Sounds like a shadow figure kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. It you could barely see the detail of even having a hood on, but you could tell it was a hood.
Have you ever had any, like, alien abduction experiences or anything like that?
I have not, unfortunately.
Okay.
I wish.
Unfortunately?
Yeah.
I wish for that, too. I don't blame him.
Yeah, that's true. Luke wants to be abducted by aliens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We were talking, too, about that you wanted to mention something about the nature of evil or the existence of evil. You said that you'd listened to one of our shows. Which show was that you had listened to?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. It was some guy interviewing. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how to tell you. You know, I don't know the name of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you were talking about, you wanted to talk kind of about like the existence of evil or the non-existence of evil.
Yeah, I personally, to jump right to the end and then tell you a little bit why, I personally don't believe in evil. I realize that evil has just been an idea in my own mind, and that it was an expression of fear. And as I have worked on my training my mind to think of love opposed to think of being afraid, that no matter what is confronted, no matter what I'm confronted with, I see love instead. And I realize that when it is my perception that I have a choice to actually perceive my manifestations of reality the way I want to perceive them. There was an incident here when we were going to a drum circle one day, and apparently the drum circle, it was too cold that night, and it's on Cathedral Rock, which is another vortex around here. And there was two drunk guys that we got interacting with, and I believe we pulled out a joint. I hope I can say all of that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
We've talked about this kind of thing before.
Yeah, okay. And it was quite a joyful experience, really, for me at the end. But someone was saying that about being a shaman, and they were actually pretty funny. These guys were just joking about everything, and they went away for a little bit. And I was thinking how my life was so serious. I'm like, oh man, I do not joke around enough. And because they were making me laugh. And they came back, and I asked them, I said, so which one of you is a shaman? And one of them turned to me and said, and was starting to get upset, saying, he can never say he's a shaman, or else he's not really a shaman. But my friend here is a shaman. And then that friend said, he can't say he's a shaman. I can't say I'm a shaman, he's a shaman, or something. And I'm like, so you're a shaman because you're saying you can't say you're a shaman? And he's like, I did not say I'm a shaman. And it escalated into this, you know, drunken rampage.
Sounds like Luke's weekend.
Yeah.
And it was
spot on.
Yeah. The funnest thing about it is that I was in such a place where it was after this experience where I came familiar and almost died, whatever it was.
Okay.
It was after that experience, and I was so firm in that I knew my purpose. You know, I knew what I was here for. And I knew my perceptions determined my reality. And I did not realize these guys were coming after me trying to beat me up. I did not know it until my partner, Zoe, stepped in front of them and was like, hey, you guys, you know, cool down and everything. And I just realized then these guys are coming after me, and they want to, they're threatening me and want to kill me. I did not know. And
wow,
it was really strange. And I just literally stood there and said, I have nothing to defend. I do not fear death. I'm not afraid of what you have to offer, because I do not accept. I accept this situation as love. And it went off well, because, I mean, we left there and it was just fine. And at one time, one part of that, the guy tried to grab my hat off my head, and next thing I know, I had him on the ground. And I didn't, it was like a blink of an eye. I had him on the ground. It's like some essence was doing it for me or something. It's pretty profound. So I was saying, with that is, I chose to see love instead of fear, and so I wasn't afraid at all, and it turned out well.
If you don't mind talking about it on the show, what all types of psychoactive drugs or anything else for that matter have you experimented with?
Yeah, the only thing I've actually done was shrooms about a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and marijuana has been a part of my life for about a year, maybe over a year. And yeah, it's all kind of new stuff and opening up new ventures of life for me. I tried a tiny little bit of LSD once, and just recently, actually. And, I didn't trip out too much. And that show, I remember hearing you say that you thought of marijuana as a hallucinogen, and I do completely agree. Because, just last night I was talking to a friend of mine and my partner Zoe, and we were stoned as hell, and I was seeing their third eyes so profound, literally, it looks like an eyeball. It was pretty amazing.
My eye of knowledge.
Yeah, what was that?
Luke's eye of knowledge.
Yeah, I'm not sure I went into a lot of detail in that episode, but so I had smoked a lot of weed, about 5-6 bowls in a roll, just one consecutively, one after another, and I could no longer handle the company that I was around, so I had to go up to the bedroom by myself, and just lay down, because that's a lot. That's a lot of weed.
Yeah.
So I left all of the people downstairs because I noticed, and this is important, that a lot of other people don't have the same kind of experience. Like most, your average person who doesn't really, think outside of the box most of the time seems to just kind of, get into this slump whenever they start smoking. But, I get excited and I get all this information, like you were saying, coming in from all angles, and I'm trying to interpret it and everything, and I could no longer handle the company of the people I was hanging out with, so nice. I went upstairs to be by myself, and I remember putting my hands over my head and made an eyeball shape where my head would be the iris, and I was holding my arms in that position and looking around the room, and I was just seeing and taking in information that way.
Cool.
You sure it's not the eye of Sauron?
That's kind of what it made me think of, yeah.
All-seeing Illuminati eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, that eye of Ra, isn't it?
Right.
How are you holding your hands? Triangle?
If you put one hand flat on top of the other and hold it about 4 or 5 inches above your head, it kind of turns your... If you looked at a shadow of yourself, it would look like an eyeball, the upper top of your body after you do that.
I'm trying to do it now.
this is good radio here,
right? Well, I don't know. For someone puts on a uniform to become become a worker, become a trash worker, become a karate student, whatever. You put on that uniform so that you can better get into that mode. And I was using the eye of knowledge to try to interpret all of these patterns and colors and vivid thoughts coming at me,
Yeah. Now I was just going to say that that's the reason my hair is long, is I feel like I'm putting it in the part. Well, I was following what I say is guidance. I follow guidance and that intuitive voice inside me, and it guided me to grow my hair out and, start dressing a little more hippie-like, I guess. And so I'm putting on the uniform, I guess you can say.
Because you kind of emulate. I mean, everybody emulates all throughout life because we all imitate. We grow up imitating. That's how we learn language and everything else. And when you try to emulate something, you take on all of the aspects of that particular character.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're really bringing it out of Luke tonight. He's usually not this profound.
There's an endless amount of things to talk about. I mean, we can do this all night and all day.
Yeah, true. And
we'll have to have you back on again.
Hey, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, too, about our show. I don't know if you're, into psychic or telling the future, but do you see anything good for us?
You might need to get a little more specific because it's pretty general and broad.
Well, I mean, like general success or anything, just like reaching more people or.
Yeah, he's trying to say how you feel about the show.
Yeah, like when you mentioned in the chat or something about listeners and yeah, at that moment I did see that, and I believe I said it to you that if you stick with it, I see that it's going to grow. It's definitely going to grow.
Absolutely, great.
Yeah, just take what you learn every time, and I do see quite a few more listeners. I had a podcast. When I was going through A Course in Miracles, and I got over 20,000 downloads a week. So
wow,
it's
nice.
You can. I don't know where you guys are at.
Yeah,
but
we're
sure
not quite
get
at that
there.
Level.
Getting there.
Yeah, we may get there.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you too, Devin. You know, about your, you know, you grew up Mormon, and I kind of wanted to get your perspective on who you think, who you think Jesus Christ was.
Okay. Yeah, I currently am in a place where I think of Jesus as he was a man, just like you are a man, and I'm a man, and. I found that he discovered himself, not in the same way I did when I was 12, maybe, but he went through an enlightenment process, and he discovered spirit, and also discovered, you know, who he actually was. And I feel like, speaking of the 10 dimensions, that he did come into a place where he realized full divine realization. And that he was God, embodiment of God, and he was the body of Christ, as you would call it. And that we are all actually one. And I feel that there was a lot of misunderstanding and misinterpretation of who he was. So I think of him, and the best way I would describe him, is a symbol. Not that he doesn't exist, but I think of him as a symbol of who I am to become. And who I will be someday. Just like I think of the Buddha, and like I think of you, and that we are all actually this one essence inside all of us together. And if you know anything about the 10 dimensions, the fifth dimension, as you would ascend into the fifth dimension, it's the joining of all mind, and that you realize that we are all one, and really experience it on a daily basis, and the time is collapsed in a way where you think of any body and you are that body, and you can literally go back and experience the life of Jesus, and we can all see it for ourselves and experience it for ourselves. As far as if he is our Savior and the Savior of the world, I do believe that he is the Savior of the world. I do not believe he is the only Savior of the world. I do believe that he is here to teach us the way and to show us the way, as well as the Buddha, as well as Krishna, as well as Ra, and as well as Allah. I believe that everybody has an essence that can bring us closer to God, and we all have cultures that we are raised in, and so we all need it in our own fashion. Just like a lot of Westerners could not understand the practice of Hinduism and everything, but just like how the Indians can't understand the way we do things over here, you know, it's like the same thing. We need our cultures, and we need it explained in our unique fashion, mm-hmm. And that's what we're all here to do. And I feel Jesus was one of those to explain it in a certain way. And I honestly believe everybody is a savior. That we all show each other our perceptions of fear and our perceptions of love. And we can choose to see love. And if we do that, we are saved. If we choose to see love in everything we do.
Right on.
Yeah.
Devin, I want to ask you, what's next for you? What are you planning on doing? Is there anything that you're going to be writing or getting into next?
Oh, that's a big question. I have been traveling around for the past 2 years, or almost, I think it's almost 4 years, I've lost count. And So I do consider myself still traveling, even though I was just in Hawaii for 8 months, and now we're here in Sedona for 8 months now, and we're about to leave. I am currently writing two books, that one channeling book, and the other is more intuitive, and that goes in correlation with the lessons of A Course in Miracles, and to help bring about what I have experienced. I'm trying to, you know, if you were to read it, I'm trying to help you do what I did to bring about the experiences that I have had. Because as I have had them, I desire to share them with everyone I possibly can. And these experiences are not just for me. And I, as far as where I'm going next or where we are going next, I do not completely know. And as far as in the further future, I had a vision, if you would like to call it that, of winning a very large sum of money, $22 million, it said, and that what I would do with it is start a community, a very large self-sustained community, housing 300 to 600 people. And that is a goal I still have, if I want to say it's a goal, but it's more like I'm trusting that it's happening. So I have my lottery ticket and waiting for it to come.
If that ever happens, definitely get in touch with me. Yeah, I'll be one of the tenants.
Luke wants to go live there.
Yeah. Hey, so do I. So it's all good. Someday.
Well, absolutely. Well, Devin, I mean, you've been an excellent guest. I think that we've covered a lot. We've covered a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I'm just...
Yeah.
I really appreciate you, you know, listening to the show, and you know, I value your feedback as a listener, and I also, you know, value you for coming on to this show. We really, really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me, and I did enjoy it myself. So.
Excellent. Well, we're going to close out here, but stay on the line for us.
All right.
And we'll be right back on Conspiranormal.
Okay.
What's up, folks? We're back on Conspiranormal. What do you have to say, Adam?
Well, I was impressed by the interview. He's a very well-spoken guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't say that I agree too much with a lot of stuff that he says.
Naturally.
But, I mean, it's as we do here on this show, you know, we let the guests talk. That's mm-hmm. what we do. Either it's you know, really an alternative Christian person, or somebody like Devin, mm-hmm. who, you know, was into all kind of like what we would call New Age.
Yeah.
And
he had some
interesting ideas. You kind of carried that interview a little more, which I was impressed. You made some profound statements.
That's because that's my type of guest. I mean, that's
right,
on my
right.
part of the spectrum. You
yeah.
know? But what was I going to say? Oh yeah, I'd consider him more of like a spiritualist rather than a New Ager, because
sure.
a New Ager would start making mention of things from Zachariah Sitchin and. You know,
that's the kind of New Ager, you know, but yeah.
But that's common though. I mean,
yeah.
like a lot of New Agers I've met have pulled a lot from Zachariah Sitchin stuff and other like cult stuff, like the
sure.
Ashtar Command and all.
Yeah,
that.
Ashtar Command.
Right. That's,
well, okay. I was trying. You know, I wanted to find out some of the things that he felt about some of our other guests, like, say, Russ Dizdar, Chris Putnam,
mm-hmm.
Even Dot Markey, some of these other, you know, the Christian guests that we've had on. I kind of wanted to get some insight of what, you know, what he had listened to as a listener to the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also wanted to find out, too, you know, whether he ever had any doubts in his mind. And he seemed to have some doubts as to whether what he was being given
right.
was true.
And yeah,
by
this, yeah.
by channeling this Zeus essence, as he described it,
uh-huh.
that was the words he used. And I did find it interesting that he did say about a figure in a black robe. He's talking about opening doors and opening portals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are things that I've read and understood. that I really just think that a lot of this stuff, and this is my personal opinion, is I think it's a trickster and demonic in nature.
Right.
I think it's to lead people astray.
Right. Well,
and being Mormonism is, you know, there's a lot of bizarreness in Mormonism too. Mormonism is almost like an amalgamation of Freemasonry and Evangelical Christianity. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is. There's a lot of Freemasonic, Gnostic things in Mormonism. Mm-hmm. You know, which in Mormonism, like, you die, and then eventually, probably through that 10-dimension process that he was talking about, and that was all coming from Mormonism.
Right, that's like a list of doctrines, really, what it sounded like.
So, eventually you become the god of your own planet. So he still is kind of drawing a little bit from that, the faith that he grew up in.
Right.
That, you know, eventually you become God. You know, this is something that I've heard many, many times that stems from ancient Gnosticism. This idea that there's an elect, that they rule because they basically have the hidden knowledge, and that they basically have the knowledge that God, you know, Jesus, you can be just like Jesus Christ himself.
I think that may be putting a little bit too much thought into it. If you break it down to more of a simpler form, you know, from his perspective. Yeah, and he told you he's only been experimenting with all of that for about a year. But, man, what was I going to say?
Totally blank.
I lost it. I got off topic.
It's okay. That happens. But yeah, so I was trying I did want to get his opinion of what he felt that Jesus was, and it's pretty much kind of the straight line. It's not just New Age, but that's also all from ancient Gnosticism, which was an ancient Christian heresy. As I just described it, you could become, not only did you have a salvation in Jesus Christ, but you could find Jesus. You could become like him. This idea that man can become God, is kind of, that's the Luciferian doctrine, that man is. And I don't view the world in that way. I don't see that man can become God, because every time man has tried to elevate himself above God, it's usually not worked out very well.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The human nature, if we didn't have our own human nature, we would never... We probably could do it, but because we are humans and we have human nature, there's no way we possibly could become like God. There's no way we could do it.
Yeah.
Which this is kind of going to go into some of the stuff that we're going to talk about with Scotty Roberts next week, which I think is going to be interesting.
Okay, so you were saying a minute ago about how you think that visions and... trusting, you know, those voices, intuitions, and stuff could be tricksters. And he's trying to say that he trusts them because the spirit's a good judge of character.
Yeah.
In that you either get negative emotions and fear, and he's talking about fear is one of his biggest enemies. And it's true. You know, like if you've got these rules, you know, you've got these limitations on yourself, and you don't know everything about it, if you're ignorant of a limitation, you're going to have fear of it. And that fear is going to come off to you negatively whenever you go into some kind of trance, either drugs, meditation, or whatever. That fear is going to come back at you, and that is the worst enemy.
Well, I think even if I wasn't a Christian, I would say that, how exactly do you know what is talking to you is actually what it's saying it is? How do you know?
Because
how is there really a way to test that?
You don't. You take things from it that would be a lesson in improving yourself. And if you don't get that, then it's, you know, I guess it's not worth your time to invest in talking to, you know, say it's like a spirit you're channeling or something, then don't invest time in it. If it's not helping you ascend, it's not helping you improve in some way, then get rid of it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like if you ascend. See, because I came from a place where I used to believe a lot of this kind of stuff. You know, I used to believe all this. Not necessarily in the way that he does. You know, I never got that deep into it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm not expressing myself clearly. I just feel like that, you know, from everything that I have read and the experiences that I have seen, that not all the time. Well, like, for instance, I asked him about the alien abduction thing, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Oh no, unfortunately, no. I wish I had," mm-hmm. which you responded that you wished you had too. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, that's what I would love to happen to me. I'd love, like, the little, like, you know, grotesque-looking guy to take me out of my bed at night and anal probe me.
But
that's a wonderful experience.
Automatically, you know, where does that information come from? You know, like, some people may have said that, but what's to say that they weren't just having a nightmare? And what's to say that if you do get abducted, then they're actually friendly?
Yeah, and see, it's all debatable.
Exactly, it's right. All debatable, and unless you can show solid proof to everybody, then all you have really to rely on is your own emotions and stuff, and your own intuition.
Yeah. I mean, more power to him. I think he was a great guest. I was really happy to have him on. He's a super nice guy. I mean, you can definitely tell that. Mm-hmm. You know, his story about the two drunk guys and almost getting into a fight.
Yeah, it sounds like the drunk guys. The way I heard that, it sounds like the drunk guys were on something making them aggressive, like some kind of drug that was making them aggressive. Because he didn't say it. You know, you got to have a motive to go when you go and
mess with somebody.
Yeah, when you get into a fight, you know that you're going to get hurt, so you got to have something to gain out of it. You're not just going to go try to beat somebody up for no reason at all.
Right.
It's got to, even if it's just a boost to your ego or something. So I guess those guys were on some kind of drugs.
Yeah, I think all the things that we're talking about tonight, you know, I think a lot of it, like, we would have to do like a 5-hour podcast for me to explain my point of view.
Yeah,
you would have to do the same thing.
I understand your point of view. Yeah, I understand it.
And that's the dynamic. That's the dynamic of the show, and I think it showed up really well tonight. Mm-hmm. And I've actually booked 2 more guests. Next week we have Scotty Roberts coming back, which, you know, remember he talked about the Nephilim, and we talked about a lot of different things about the Watchers and the Fallen Angels. He has a book out about the Reptilians, the secret history of the Reptilians, which he doesn't believe the whole David Icke thing, so we're not going to be channeling any Reptilians or speaking Reptilian language or anything like that. So, And 2 weeks from that date, we have on Adam Ellenboss, who I think you would be particularly interested in because he's going to talk about his experiences with ayahuasca.
Ooh.
Which is something I did not ask Devin about, but you kind of indirectly asked him.
Right.
Know that he probably hasn't taken that.
Right, yeah.
So I think that will be an interesting, you know, I just want to get on, we're going to get on a few other points of view than what we have been getting on.
Right.
You know.
That's good.
And eventually I'll get Dr. Future in here to set us all straight.
Okay. So. He can try.
I'll bring Guy Malone back for you.
He can try. And he can fail.
He's the one that made you want to take ayahuasca.
I know. He's the one that got me interested in it. Inadvertently.
Oh, by the way, how's the occult coming? The rituals?
I have ordered some things.
Ordered like a newt's eye or something like that?
No, some candles. But
ordered some candles, man. Aromatherapy.
But I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I'm trying to take in some kind of influence that would let me know the best method to get my task done.
Yeah.
And so far, it's been And I don't think it hurts to talk about this because, you know, it was interesting earlier. He was mentioning the secrecy of the shaman thing, you know. But I was thinking about using an idol. We'll see how that works, you know, putting some blood on it, whatever.
Oh, no, just briefly, Luke, just kind of interview you for a second before we go. What are your feelings about the occult? I mean, I know you don't necessarily see it as a bad thing. And you feel like it's gotten a lot of bad rep for, like, Hollywood. Like, we were talking about the movie Sinister.
Exactly, yeah.
Everything's, like, kind of occult-oriented.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, you just feel like it's just a system of beliefs and just whatever you put into it, that's what it is, and it's not really...
Well, okay. The people who have made advancements in occultism and have books out, like, you know, Aleister Crowley, Franz Bard, Eliphas Levi, all of those, they've all been there, done that. You know, they've got all of these, like, coded systems of language and everything. You know, they're just masters of occultism. All that information they've obtained, you know, the same way me and the guest tonight are talking about.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, they're more inept than us. They're... been doing it their whole life and experimenting all.
You would be more inept than them.
Oh, right. I used it wrong. Yeah, I used that wrong.
You used the word wrong.
Adept.
Adept.
There you go. That's what I meant.
You know.
But I know that using a negative influence like I'm trying to do could backfire on me. I know that. But just like I told my girlfriend, I'm willing to take that chance just so that I can get a real reaction from it, you know. And if it actually succeeds, like I'll be thrilled. Like, wow, I actually did that. You know, yeah. I manipulated whatever it takes in the other dimensions on the other side to do harm on this person, and it worked. You know,
And I want you to know too. I mean, it's not just like Christian literature where they talk about how like somebody was messing with the occult and it was bringing bad things into their life. I've heard people from, you know, secular or all walks of life that have been like, you know, I messed with bad stuff and then all of a sudden this was happening to me. And
I keep hearing that too, but I think that...
I just don't think you've experienced
it. No, I haven't. So automatically that makes me a skeptic.
I think you want to experience.
I do, yeah, I do. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say here. I said even if something negative happens and say, you know, by some far chance I get possessed or something like that, well, awesome. You know, finally, it's been proven that I can actually affect things in the other world. And this isn't just a state of mind.
So if you come to work with your head spinning, total 360 degree,
yeah,
throwing up pea soup.
Exactly. you know that something went wrong. But
horribly wrong.
I've said this before, too. I keep hearing all these people all over the place, oh, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. You know, they have fear of it. They have fear of what they don't understand. And then I ask them, I'm like, well, have you ever tried any of this yourself? Do you know anybody that's tried any of this theirself? Well, no, but I've heard stories. Exactly, you heard stories.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. You are the type of person that I think has to experience it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's whether either good or bad. There's like you're not going to be convinced by anybody else's story.
Exactly.
Now, other people that I've brought in here and talk about all the stuff.
It doesn't matter.
It's just a story to you.
To me,
that's enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm on a different wavelength, but to me, that's enough for me to say I don't want to mess with any of that stuff.
If
not necessarily the Hollywood stuff, because I know what Hollywood does.
Right.
You know.
And if you take a particular occasion and you break it down into simpler forms, think about how many variables. Think about like if someone is under the influence of a substance or there's so many variables with possessions and you know, like my grandma saying that her brother died or something like that from messing with witchcraft. How did she know it's witchcraft?
But she didn't even tell you what.
Right.
Or she didn't tell you how.
We didn't really have time to go into detail, but she just told us. She's like, don't mess around with that kind of stuff. You know, you stay away from it. And you know, how do you know your brother? There's too many variables. You can't just blame it on that and say that's what happened.
Yeah, you know? He could have gotten in a knife fight.
Exactly.
You never know.
Was that the result of him messing with occultism? That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
I'm just thinking that, you know, you're probably the type of person, I got to see it, I got to experience it.
Exactly.
I got to experience it good or bad.
Exactly.
So let me ask you, if it does go bad, what are you going to think? Maybe that's just too hypothetical because you're not in that situation.
If it does go bad, I'm going to use everything I know to try to do some protection and cleansing. You know, protect with the Athame or whatever.
Use some WD-40.
to draw circles of protection around myself. Do some visualizations. You know, whatever I can to try to get the negative influence out of my life or whatever. But
yeah,
I don't. You know. We'll see if it comes to that. Whatever.
I think you'll be going to church with me.
You wish.
Well, all right, man. We're gonna call it. Luke, thanks for coming out, and we had a good guest on. And next week we're gonna have Scotty Roberts on again. We're gonna talk about reptilians.
Okay.
We can hardly wait.
That ought to be good.
Like the reptilian that was in Obama's Secret Service. Did you see that video?
No, I didn't. No.
It's just a guy that looks a little weird of the bald head, and people are saying he's a reptilian. He's an Anunnaki.
My mom made me watch David Icke, and that's all.
It's true.
That's all. That's all I could take of the reptilians. That's all I could handle.
All right, well, let's call it a night. You want to take us out?
Join us next time for another... Hold on, let me start that again.
One, two, three. Producer Chris?
Chris isn't here.
All right. Join us next time on another episode of...
Conspiranormal!